Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk about food, food, and food, and of course, the great recipes that he has for food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. But, you know, it's a very nerve-wracking morning because of elections.
Yeah, it always gets the old stomach turning.
Literally stomach turning. Yeah. That's my problem. Literally, I just ran out of Tums. And I'm not joking. The first thing Bob said to me last night, actually, before we went to sleep, he says, remember, we got to get Tums tomorrow. So I would say my recent mantra is a good for this kind of anxiety. Carbs are calming.
Yes, they are.
So a lot of people pasta loaded for the marathon. I don't know if it's carb loaded. Do they still do that? Do runners carb load?
Oh yeah.
So good for them. but I think I'm going to carb load today too. I'm not sure what form of carb, but I have complained about this before, but it came to my attention the other day that one of my recipes, uncredited, this is the problem. Let me start at the beginning. I was a paid professional cookbook writer, so my income hardly depends on the cookbook selling. Let's just say it's selling. Most cookbooks, by the way, do not earn the amount of money that was paid to the author for writing the book. That's called an advance. So writers get an advance, and then they have to sell enough books to work off the advance. And truly, I was told this only recently again by a very young friend who's now an editor, that just earning out, as they call it, meaning making enough money to pay back the advance, is considered a success. So you can imagine how much the publishers must make on all this. It's an abusive business, what can I say? But now we have the internet. So truly, I find my published recipes, which I got paid to develop and whatever, are uncredited on the internet. I recall especially a one that's everywhere, which is this slow roasted pork shoulder. I must say, it's a great recipe. I'm very proud that I published it. But in fact, I didn't create it at all, and I credited the original source, which was Suzanne Somers, the actress, who I don't know what her eating habits are these days, but in those days she was, this is pre-keto, before anybody ever heard the word keto, she was a proponent of a low-carb diet. So she made this pork roast. It's a pork shoulder cooked 12 to 18 hours, depending on the size, but really you can take it all to 18, but I once did that. But now I realize 12, 14 is fine. You know, it depends on when you want to eat it, too. I like it sort of only an hour or so out of the oven, although it's even good, you know, the next day. In any case, that recipe is everywhere. I think it's just called, if you did a search on 18-hour pork roast or pork shoulder, you'd come up with it. In a case or two, you might find it credited to Suzanne Somers. But mostly, it's the way I published the recipe, which is not the way Suzanne did, and one or two people credited me, but mostly it's just out there. And you got to accept these things. But just the other day, I see somebody who, a friend of mine on Facebook, he's not an actual friend, of course, but in fact, I follow him because he cooks Southern Italian food, and he's from Utica, which has a big Italian community, and he has recipes that, Italian-American from Utica, New York, and he's an interesting guy. So, and I actually sent him early on when I first decided he was an interesting guy who might appreciate, I think he may have mentioned Naples at Table, which is my first Italian book. And then, so I sent him a copy of the Southern Italian Table, which covers not just Naples, but all the way down to Sicily. So I see a recipe on his timeline for a pasta with squash. And I read the recipe, and it's my recipe. I mean, he didn't publish it word for word, which would have been plagiarism, copyright infringement, but it was my recipe. So I wrote, as a comment, I never comment on any of these things, but I wrote as a comment, sounds like, if not exactly like, my recipe in the Southern Italian Table. So this gentleman, he is a gentleman, I don't use that word lightly, actually, within hours, maybe 12 hours, did a whole riff on the book, The Southern Italian Table, and how wonderful I am, and he made up for it. I could tell he was contrite, sincerely. And I'm sure he won't do that again. He won't, you know, I mean, why not say this, you know, was inspired by, it, at least, you know, a recipe in Arthur Schwartz's book. There's another recipe from the Southern Italian Table that I've encountered online, and sometimes it's my version of it, sometimes it's somebody else's version of it, but it's a recipe from a restaurant just outside of Naples, and it's in English, I would say, actually, I did say in the book, garbage pail thick spaghetti is the name of the in English, the recipe in the Southern Italian Table. Spaghettoni al setaccio dell'immondizia. You can translate that in a couple of ways, and I know I've offended some Neapolitans by saying it's a garbage pail, but usually a setaccio dell'immondizia is a garbage pail. So this recipe is funny. It's why it's called that is like we would say, you know, it's got everything but the kitchen sink. So it's a similar kind of idiom. And it's got a little bit of ingredients. It's a sort of a little bit of a pain to prepare, but once you get everything chopped, you know, you're home free. And I'm going to give you the recipe. But it has a lot of nuts in it. And I had a laugh. One day a woman wrote to me and said, I love this recipe, but I leave out the nuts because my husband is allergic to nuts. Well, you'll see. This is largely about nuts. So she made up a different recipe, but that's okay. So what you want to do is in a skillet. You know, by the way, I make a lot of pasta, sauces, condiments. In Italian, the word is condimenti. In a skillet because you get, you know, good evaporation, a lot of reasons. So in this case, you know, like your medium-sized skillet, 9-10-inch skillet, over medium heat, you toast some walnuts, let's see, a tablespoon of chopped walnuts, a tablespoon of chopped hazelnuts, a tablespoon, a little more, of pine nuts, if you have them, 2 tablespoons of raisins, a tablespoon of capers. Now, I use salt capers, which you have to rinse and soak a little bit. But if you have the pickle, you know, in a jar and vinegar kind of capers, just drain them well. And I guess you could, I would rinse them, actually, because I don't want all that vinegar. And then at least 1/4 cup of diced cherry tomatoes. Now, you can use more if you like it. And some oregano, big pinch of dried oregano, a little bit of parsley. I'm telling you, it's a kitchen sink. And then 6 olives, and you cut up the olives, pit and cut the olives. I usually have gaita in my refrigerator, but if you have Greek olives, that's good. Kalamata, also kind of Greek olive, very good. And this is all, and you just put this in a skillet with a few tablespoons of olive oil. And you don't cook it very much. You just, you know, 5 minutes sort of to heat it all through. And then boil up your spaghetti. This is enough for 8 ounces of spaghetti, which to me is enough for 2, if not 3 people or 4 people. You know, technically speaking, 2 ounces is a serving of pasta. Last night, Bob, since I usually make 3 ounces per person, So 6 ounces of pasta would be enough for two. And there's not a lot of condimenti here, even though it's strongly flavored. So you could use this for anywhere from 2 servings, and or I wouldn't stretch it to 4, even though I see in my book it says 4. By the way, the restaurant is called, it's an interesting restaurant. It's a very famous restaurant because it's called I Corti, C-O-R-T-I, means the little people, because the original owners were 2 midget brothers, little people, and their family still continues the restaurant, still family-owned. But they make a very famous walnut liqueur that's sold all over Italy and in very nice packaging. And you probably could buy it online, even. If you go to E is the letter I in Italian. Corti is C-O-R-T-I, as I said. You can probably buy their walnut liqueur. It is very good. So anyway, this recipe is from I Corti, which is not how you say it in dialect. I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying. And it's in a town called Anastasia in Italian. So that's one. Anyway, so this gentleman on Facebook, he's made a lot of recipes from this book, I have to say, in his makeup posting. He listed recipes from the book that he likes a lot, including this wonderful grilled swordfish with like a breadcrumb crust. But the one that, and I just made this because this is one of my favorite recipes, it's butternut squash with sausage for pasta. Now, the original recipe called for pancetta as well as sausage, but I don't use that anymore. If I had a tiny bit of you know, like a little leftover piece of pancetta in the refrigerator, I might throw it in. But let me see. I have to give you some proportions, don't I? But in fact, I'll tell you. I use a butternut squash that weighs about 2 pounds. And I cut off the bulbous end to use for some other purpose. And I just use the neck part of the squash. So you could select your squash, one with a nice long neck. I say this because the neck has no seeds and is way easier. Well, let me just say, it provides the right amount of squash for this recipe. So peel the squash. I do it one way. You can do it any which way you find comfortable. It's not an easy thing to do necessarily. You peel a hard winter squash, but you got to peel it and cube it. Yes, I know they sell already cubed squash in the supermarket these days. And if you want the easy way out, just get about 1.5 pounds of already peeled and cubed squash. You're going to use 2 links of sausage. It's usually about 1/2 pound. Zip out the meat from the casing, throw away the casing, and break up the sausage in the bottom of a pan. In this case, I would use a saucepan because it's actually, it is a sauce. So a 2 or 3 quart saucepan. Excuse me. So saute your sausage with a little bit of olive oil to get it going. Of course, sausage has a lot of fat, so it will render out some fat. And then you're going to add a small onion chopped. If you want, you could add a little garlic, too. I just use onion. And then when that's softened, when the onion has softened a bit and the sausage has lost its raw color, you add the cubed, and, you know, like 1-inch cubes is good, of squash, about 1.5 pounds already peeled and cubed, and toss it around with the meat and the fat and get it going a little bit. And once it starts, you know, after like just literally 3 or 4 minutes, add enough water to just cover the squash. It's probably going to be about 2 cups of water to just cover the squash. You don't want too much water. And then boil it all. Oh, of course, you're going to put in some salt. And if you like, hot pepper or if you don't like, you can pepper it with black pepper at the end. And then boil this, a nice simmer, don't, crazy boil, until the squash is soft enough to mash it against the side of the pot. I don't bother even using a blender or anything like that. I just cook the squash soft, and with my spoon, a wooden spoon, I smash it against the pot. I want some of it to stay in pieces and some of it to be mashed. And then that's it. That's pretty much the sauce, except that you want to add some, maybe some chopped fresh parsley at the end or in the on the bowls. And that is enough, at least for 12 ounces of what I would make is maybe rigatoni is a good pasta for this. Spaghetti is good, but I prefer a tubular pasta. Penne is excellent. I think originally I was making this with paccheri. And if you're interested in paccheri, P-A-C-C-H-E-R-I, paccheri means very, very large tube. By the way, that's the Neapolitan name for this, which is originally a Neapolitan pasta. And the largest tube you can get. And when they boil, they take a while to cook, too. Eventually, they'll become soft enough to collapse. And then you mix it with the pasta. By the way, this is something you have to mix with the pasta before you serve it. Grated cheese is appropriate here. Sounds good to me. I made it already twice this season. The thing that I've been waiting... Now, here we are in practically the middle of November. Well, almost. And it's 74 degrees today. So it's not a day for grilling for me. But if it is for you, this is something I'm going to do as soon as the weather snaps a little colder, because it keeps my stove on for a long time, is take butternut squash. And again, I like the neck part for this because you can get solid pieces, and slice it, after you peel it, slice it into no more than quarter-inch thick slices, and grill these slices on a hot, ridged griddle. Do you have one of those, Marshall? I do.
No, I do not.
Well, I would say it's so handy, especially for grilled vegetables, not even to mention grilled meat. But I have a very inexpensive black iron, cast iron grill, and on that it takes a good minute. It's very hot. It'll take at least 3 minutes per side of squash. And what you want is to not to get it soft so much as to get some nice grill marks. When you see that it has nice grill marks on it, you can flip it over and do the other side. And by that time, the other side gets good grill marks on it. It's done. And put it in a shallow dish, or let's say a platter even. I have actually a couple dishes I saved just for this kind of thing. And once you get a layer of squash in there, drizzle it with a little bit of olive oil, a couple of pinches of salt, a couple pinches of either dried oregano or dried mint, and a couple of drops of vinegar. Well, a little bit of vinegar, either apple cider vinegar, white wine vinegar. Don't use distilled white vinegar. It's a little too harsh. And then you just keep doing that, building up. And by the way, if you have fresh parsley, you could use that instead of the dried herbs, but I actually like the dried herbs better. And then that's it. Eventually, you're going to get, many layers of grilled squash that are going to marinate. You've got to leave this at least for a few hours in oil, vinegar, and herbs, salt, and pepper. Or you can put hot pepper in this, but I don't, in case there's somebody at the table who doesn't eat it. And this is something that you can keep in the fridge for a week. So make a big batch one day, and you can enjoy it for the whole week. It's a good side dish. It's a good antipasto. There's a lot of uses, I find, for grilled squash. Anyway, these are all in my book, The Southern Italian Table, which has been out of print practically since I wrote it, since it was published. But I took the trouble in this case, because I was having publisher problems, I took the trouble in this case to have somebody make a digital version of it. By the way, when you write a book, anyone writes any book, it's the publisher that owns the copyright. And in order for the author to get the copyright back to themselves, you have to go through a legal process. And I did this with The Southern Italian Table because the book hardly got distributed. Naples at Table, there is a digital version of it. I don't necessarily recommend it. They did a bad, the publisher itself did a bad job. But Naples at Table is a collectible now, so you can go on Amazon. There are copies of it, but they're too expensive in my estimation. But the Southern Italian Table you can buy for $10 on as a Kindle version. And it's, I have to say, it's a beautiful version because I supervised it. The man who put it, who made it digital, had never done this before. So some years ago, before that was a thing, and he wanted to learn how to do it, and he did a great job. And it has a lot of photographs. In fact, the cover photograph on the digital version is. I like it better than the one in the published hardcover version. It's a picture of my friend Cecilia's aunt's kitchen, which was probably built in. Well, I know it was when it was built in the 1920s in Battipaglia, in the province of Salerno, and Zia Delia, Aunt Delia, died in her 90s. Just few years ago, but before she died, I cooked with her. And this is a woman who cooked every day, even though she had no children, no family in the house. She had a huge larder, and she just stocked the larder every day with something. And then her many, many nieces and nephews would stop by to make sure she was okay. And also to pick up stuff, food that she'd made that she didn't have anybody else to eat. No, but she knew they were all going to come by, and they were all going to want a jar of this, and, oh, see, I need some tomatoes, see, I need some squash. And if you go into her larder, it was like an obstacle course of fresh produce and baskets of stuff on the floor and then shelves of jars, giardiniera, all kinds of things. Anyway, the cover of the digital version, which is a Kindle version. I don't know. Can you? I guess if you don't have a Kindle reader, you can buy from Kindle. I don't know about this. You're way more techie than I am, Marshall. You probably can put it on other devices.
It all depends. If it's only licensed to Kindle, you can only do it on Kindle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that. I have to find out if this is licensed to Kindle.
Yeah.
How do I know that? I mean,
yeah, because they're different.
Look, speaking of not knowing things, yesterday I agreed to be a Nielsen participant in the ratings.
Did they send you a dollar?
No, they sent me five. First, they sent me $5. Okay. Then they sent me $10, and yesterday they sent me a representative. So the representative comes up, and he brought me a Gigunda box of Ferrero Rocher chocolate as a gift and was ready to sign me up, but had to ask me all these questions before he signed me up. And one of them was, is anybody in this household in the media? And I had to say, yes, me. So it disqualified me that I'm on Robin Hood Radio.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, I mean, he said you could probably get away with it for a few months, but then they're going to ask you again. I don't want to do anything unethical, so.
Well, I'm mad.
He said, but you can keep the chocolates.
They sent you more money than they sent me, because I had a turn down. Then I said, should I send back the dollar?
No. In fact, I asked this. He, he said, did they send you money? I said, yeah, they sent me two really old $5 bills, which I've spent already because it's hard to come by $5 bills. Anyway, I was disappointed because I wanted my voice heard, so to speak. But everybody, please, please go and vote. Please.
Well.
And then come home and eat spaghetti as a reward.
Or else baked potatoes.
That's a good one. And I keep forgetting about baked potatoes. So that's a very good one, especially with sour cream. No, I'm into noodles, egg noodles. Now, I went to the kosher supermarket. It's 20 minutes away. I had to be in the neighborhood anyway. And I stocked up on these egg noodles that I swear by. I can only find them in kosher supermarkets. The brand is Kaimak, but they're called Hamisher, which means homey. They're called Hamisher noodles, and they come in various widths and shapes. And it's like a homemade noodle. So I do a bowl of that with either cottage cheese or just even butter calms me plenty.
All right.
Oh. Okay, folks, go vote.
I want you to relax, and we'll speak to you next week.
I hope we're still here by next week.
So do I. Take care, Arthur.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can hear Arthur at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.